It has been a very interesting process to watch on many, many fronts. My own process of, gosh, how are we going to pay for this? I think we're going to go more over budget on this one little room than we did the entire house. To helping my wife navigate her little, we'll call them episodes. And it, you know, you try not to laugh. That's, when you laugh, I tell you, it sort of tends to frustrate the situation. Sometimes you just can't help yourself because, you know, it's just, if you just take a step back and put your faith in the Lord, it's going to work out. Now, I was thinking this morning as I was listening to the services and our service in South Carolina, and everybody sort of talking, and Brother Steve specifically, and, you know, Phil too. And I'm listening to this thread. I got Brother Steve was on this discussion about grace and about where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Where sin is, grace abounds. And I was thinking of, gosh, how frustrating grace must be the devil. And I started to chuckle a little bit because, you know, he tries so hard to destroy you and me. And, you know, sometimes we just go stupid and, you know, fall right into it and jump in with both feet or whatever. I mean, we just are who we are. And, but then there's still grace. And we can be of just as stupid and stubborn and pig-headed and whatever you want to add to it 2 seconds ago. But when we stop and we say, Jesus, help me. When we say, Jesus, please forgive me. It's all undone. It's gone. It's gone. And I got to tell you, that's got to frustrate the ever-living heck out of him. Praise God. Boy, he spends all his time frustrating us, trying to. I find it rather humorous just how frustrating it must be for him that despite his best efforts, God's grace is bigger. God's grace is more powerful. Many years ago, I preached a sermon, and I thought it was pretty profound. I wish I had listened to my own sermon, because it is profound. It is a deficiency that we, I'll just say, me. Ought not to be in. And much like Sue was learning, much like Phil was learning, much like I am learning, without Jesus, you can do nothing. That sermon years ago was simply, how Christians keep Jesus in a box on the wall with the label, break only in case of emergency. I had a discussion with a man over Facebook, and he asked me, this is, you know, one of my folks that watch the air gun stuff. He asked me, I hear you're a minister. I said, yes, sir, I am. You have minister full time? And I flashback to Brother Steve's discussion with Brother Lawrence about Brother Lawrence wanting to be a minister full time. You know, he's working at a cardboard place. He's working somewhere. You know, I don't know what he was doing. Some sort of light manufacturing or something, I guess. Irrelevant. He was working, you know, a secular job, right? And Brother Steve really got on his case. He says, why aren't you full-time minister now? Well, I have a job. What's that have to do with it? And so I was talking to this gentleman and said, yes, I am a full-time minister. And I said, you know, anyone that professes Christ, whether they accept it, recognize it, agree with it, or otherwise, they're full-time. It's sort of like signing up for active duty military. I mean, it's not a 9-to-5 thing, buddy. If they knock on your rack at 3 in the morning, you're getting up. There's no 9-to-5 with that. You accept Jesus Christ, it's not 9-to-5. Gosh, if Christians actually, professing Christians gave God 9-to-5, that would be a miracle. Oh my goodness, that would change the world overnight. Unfortunately, Jesus gets about probably less than 1%. Probably a fraction of a percent of the available time. Because it's really only in case of emergencies does the box get broke and we cry out to God, God help me. That should not be our testimony. I was talking with Brother Steve this week. And he was relaying a conversation he had had with somebody, and I'm just feeling smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Yep. I don't do that. I should. I don't do that. I should. Yeah, you get that light shone on your heart. And it's a challenge. I mean, you know, the thing that Brother Steve was talking about is along the same lines here, is that Jesus is everything. In your ministration of the gospel to all those around you is an all the time job. And it's not about, do you know Jesus loves you? Gosh, that can be some of the most offensive words you can tell somebody. Because it's just words, unless you're backing it up with something. It's just, you're likely to get punched. Because it's just so offensive to some people. What they need is the ministration of the love of Jesus to them. And that opportunity is with you 24/7. It is there all the time. If you work at a job, it's there. If you are a part of a family, it's there. I don't care if you're the child in the family or the parent in the family. I don't care if you're the grandpa, the grandma. That opportunity for you to share the love of Jesus continuously is there all the time. And if you leave Jesus out of the box, and you don't just break only in case of emergency, but on every case of everything you refer to him, you'll actually operate in the love of Christ. What a novel idea. You know, when you think about Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. When you look at that, when you just digest that for a moment, what was the will of God? but to show the love of Christ. What is it? What is the will of God other than to preach the gospel? And that's not just flapping your gums. Gosh, there are so many people just flapping their gums. Paul says, I don't come to see the words of them that are puffed up, but to see the power, because the kingdom of God isn't a kingdom of words, but of power. So flapping your tater traps and telling somebody Jesus loves you, that ain't getting it done, folks. Not even close. Putting a not of this world bumper sticker on your car, that ain't getting it done. That such superficial nonsense of garbage is not getting it done. But lifting your day up to the Lord, lifting your family up to the Lord, lifting your situation up to the Lord, even when you think you got it, even when you think, oh, that's easy, I can handle this. No, you can't. Try, see what happens. If God loves you, you'll fail. You know, last week I sang that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You know, part of that opening the eyes of your heart is to see how much you need Jesus and also how much in your own pride you think you don't need him. Because let me tell you, you need him continuously and for everything. And here's the thing, he's there for you continuously and for everything. You see, it's like, take just a bad example. Take the resources necessary to put on an addition. I got a loan. Okay, when got a loan? Got the money there. Well, it's been, 12 weeks now since I got that money. Still got bills to pay. But God's been good, and every time we've needed to pay something, there's been a way to pay it. I haven't had to rob Peter to pay Paul. No, God's been there to take care of it. It's like grace. When you go back and need it, it's there. Why not just walk in it all the time? Why not just live in it? Really frustrate the devil. Really just irritate him like to no end. Hallelujah. Let's do some of that. I mean, he's been doing it to us way too stinking long. Live in the grace of God. And here's the thing. Your faith isn't sufficient. This is what we learned last year at conference, right? Your faith isn't sufficient. So if you think that in your faith you're going to do it, you're still wrong. You missed the point. Because Jesus, knowing that your faith, your personal faith, is not sufficient, he gives you his faith. Hallelujah. Now, if you embrace that, you embrace that you can't do anything, that he has already done everything, and he has provided everything for you, then what is there? What is there? What challenge is there that isn't able to be overcome? That's how many of you are happy, and I use that word, happy where you are. Sue asks, in your walk with the Lord. No, I'm just talking about in your life. Well, maybe you're not happy because you're not where God wants you. And I use the word happy because it's what people use, but really, happiness is all tied to the flesh anyway. Let me ask you another question. Are you joyful all the time? So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. See, if you're chasing happiness, you won't ever be satisfied. But if you're in the love of Christ, an attribute of the love of Christ is what? Joy. And that joy will supersede any circumstance. So if you find yourself frustrated and beside yourself, and like my wife does on occasion, water on a robot, stop. Stop. Red flags everywhere. Because you're not in faith. You're not trusting God. Sue had a little bit of a, we'll call it an episode. Things were not moving as quickly and expeditiously as she'd hoped them to be. The performance of certain people was not up to her standards. And timeliness was just not, you know, things were not, you know, should have been done by now. On TV, it's done in half an hour. Why is it taking 4, 6, 8, 12 weeks? This is unacceptable. I mean, we see it on TV. They're done in an hour. We see the reveal. Everything's perfect. This is taking too long. And people are working half stinking days. She had a little meltdown. She did not claim it to be a meltdown, but I was watching from the outside, and oh yeah, it was a meltdown. And I was not helping the situation. Not to her liking. She wanted me to go, I don't know, pitch a fit to somebody, I guess. And I just started to talk to her about grace. And extending grace. And trusting God. And I asked her, I said, how many times have you said you were going to have something done on a particular schedule and didn't meet the deadline? You know, and I just kept referencing certain similarities with her performance with those that she was so upset with. I said, look, do you want grace? Then give grace. Turn this over to the Lord. Let him solve it. And you know what? The next day, what happened? Everything was moving forward expeditiously. Praise God. Get out of your own way. Get out of His way. And you think an addition matters? I mean, come on. But there's a lot of lessons there. And if you learn the lessons, they'll apply. You know, all that Brother Phil is learning at work, all of that stuff he's learning there, it's so that he can be a better minister. It's so that he can minister the gospel of Christ properly and correctly and effectively for all of those that God's given him to oversee. It's the same thing with all of us. If we will receive that, you find yourself beside yourself, stop. Just stop. Recognize you're not centered. You're not where you need to be. If you find yourself in a panic, stop. Jesus didn't panic. Did you ever see Jesus panic? I saw Peter panic. God help me. I'm drowning. And what did he do? He helped him. And God will help you too. Amen. Just ask. Just ask. I wonder what would have happened if Peter hadn't asked, if he tried to swim his way to the boat. I don't know. But you start sinking, guess what? Ask for help. Ask for help. That is what grace is for. Frustrate the devil. He tries to frustrate you. Frustrate him. frustrate him and turn back to Jesus. Repent. Say, God, forgive me. I can't do it. You find yourself beside yourself. Just take a minute. Take whatever time you need, but center yourself back with Christ. And watch him work. Just watch him work. It's an amazing thing to behold the deliverance of our God.